The Aromaonga Baxter's Flowers Nursery in Heathcote, Christchurch sits right above the point where the earthquake struck on the 22nd of February 2011. Cosmo Kentish Barnes interviewed John Baxter at the property a few weeks after the quake. The greenhouses on the steep slopes of the Port Hills, as well as the big old villa and other brick buildings, were badly damaged. This week, 10 years on, Cosmo returned to the nursery to find how things are going. And John says he's still affected by the experience.
We were numbed by it, really, and it was difficult to know what to do because financially we hadn't made a lot of money and it was a struggle anyway. And the bank, they gave us a $30,000 extension on our overdraft for 3 months, that's all. But the government... The government's wage subsidy was an absolute lifesaver to us. And we still had crops here and amongst everything, and we kept soldiering on. And I had to sell my house at Redcliffs. And 3 years, this place was in the white zone, so we didn't know if we were able to continue being here or not. My plan was to retrench quite a bit. I was going to go and see the lawyer and say we need to... We just need to liquidate everything. We can't go on. I thought that, and I lie awake thinking about it. But my brother Michael, he more or less took over the running of the place, and he's a huge optimist and lots of energy, and we're still in that position now. We're still charging on. But the little thing was that we had an elderly mother. Our little mum, she was... 90 years old, and she needed 24-hour care and attention and love. And that was my job, was really to look after my mother for 5 years.
I remember meeting your mother.
Yeah, it was really our focus. And the place, Michael started rebuilding it. And really our whole thing has been, we want to bring it back to how it was.
Remind me about the damage that was sustained during the earthquake.
The house was the three big chimneys, three big brick chimneys that were very tottering on the top, and it had a tile roof, and so water was coming down through the house, and it was really... very difficult and damaged house, and we're very lucky that they've been able to reinstate it. And again, we were only able to do that with the help of EQC, and we're very grateful to that and to the government. The other damage was the glass houses were quite badly damaged. The glass, not as much as you would have thought, but a lot of damage to the structural side of them. And shortly after the earthquake, we had a large snowstorm, which collapsed a lot of our plastic area. In the right state, we would have got up and pushed all the snow and that off, but it was quite difficult for us. We couldn't cope that well. So it was quite difficult.
Mm. Despite the earthquake having happened 10 years ago, you are still in recovery mode.
That's correct, yeah. It's still an ongoing process. Us Baxter boys, my brothers Michael and Richard and me.
You all work together.
That's right. We've always been the Baxter boys. But now my mum and dad have both passed away. We're the three old men. But, you know, Ronnie Reagan, he never took over America till he was about 70. And old Biden, he's doing it. So this should be a piece of cake to us, shouldn't it?
So you and your brothers just dug deep and kept going.
Yeah, look, every morning you come out the door here and we feed the ducks and the birds here. They fly around the valley here and they're such great little creatures. It always puts a smile on our face. And my little mum, she could hardly do anything. But we used to bring her out here first thing in the morning and get her back to life again. And these ducks, you know... The valley here is protected. We've got a squadron, ducks. There's about 20. They fly around the place, and we've got the best air defence in the country. So,
What have been the biggest challenges you've had to overcome to ensure that this wonderful nursery here survived?
Look, there's just been such an overwhelming amount of things that have hit us from every direction, really. And I think for us, our parents, I've always worked, and Michael pretty much, with our parents. And really it's this legacy thing. My father, when he was running past this place and he saw it and he liked the fernery at the back door. And we bought it just about the next day. And I mean, my mum, she's been such a great little mum. And they've worked with us all the time and cared for us. It's never been easy, this business. And the fernery is... it hasn't disintegrated, but there's so much work needs doing on it. And it's lying there in disrepair. But our aim is to bring the place back to how it was. It's usable and satisfactory for the next person. It's in disarray, but we want to have it at least so the house and this Alfred Buxton garden outline is still here. He's the early Canterbury landscape architect. And the fernery was his. And we want to try, with help from others, to get it back to so that it can be retained. The valley, we're sitting right on top of the earthquake, and there's not many nice old houses left. A beautiful mansion next door, it came down in the earthquake. So we need to try and put things right.
Can you remind our listeners what you grow here?
Lots of different cut flowers. We've got a shop on the place, and our motto is, we grow what we sell. And we've got more different flowers here than any other florist has. It all comes off the place. And we grow lots of little bits and pieces. It's quite a big business in flower growing standards. We've got all the disadvantages of being a big business and none of the advantages.
And you employ quite a few people here, don't you?
Yeah, there's, you know, between 15 and 20 of us here, so... We're the old peasant side of the industry. Nowadays, it's like the vegetable growing. It's all gone big and factory-like. You know, a lot of technology and greenhouses that have got a high degree of automation. And you grow a big patch of one crop because it's economical. And what's really an interesting little thing at the moment is with the virus... there have been very few flower imports. Now, about half the flowers that are sold in New Zealand up till the COVID are imported flowers. And flower growing is generally, a lot of flower growers aren't in business anymore. But for us that were here and were able to hold things together through the earthquake, there's been a very good market for our flowers at a better price, at a price that we've been able to manage with. And the next phase is going to be when things open up and the imports come again. I think it'll be very, very difficult then. But what we're trying to do is do this maintenance work and that with this little sweet spot, and so that when things change again, we'll be able to cope.
And John, how has the summer gone for you in terms of, you know, flower growing? Has it been a good year?
It's been a good year. We've done very well with our freesia crop. And I'm pleased because that's one of my little focuses, the freesias. And also, we've got a very nice crop of lisianthus coming on in the greenhouses. And that's quite a tricky crop to grow. But Michael... he can grow those things. He doesn't Google anything. He just looks at them. He's got a, you know, the old green fingers trap. And the other thing is, he's not a manager. He's a worker. And we do everything here sort of together. When we've got big jobs on, we've got a team of a couple of Indian boys that are very, very good and helpful to us. And we work with them. And Michael, he did work in India for the leprosy mission many years ago. And we've always got a very warm feeling towards India and Indians. And you've probably already spoken to Hillary in here from the shop.
I have.
Yeah, you already come and say hello to the girls in the shop. The old car was in here and it came down. Antoine was in here and he just got out. Now, this is Hillary, and she does all the computer stuff. And this is Faith.
Hello,
and we've
Faith.
Always got to watch Faith. She's a bit blimmin' towy sometimes. And we're very lucky we've had, there's a few liars and thieves out there, but there's also an awful lot of good people that have backed us up.
Do you actually get any time off, John?
Not really. We don't have any time off, except we're sort of like permanently on holiday. We have great morning teas here. Mum used to make the scones and stuff. Well, I do a bit of cooking and we get scones and stuff. And we like to have a reasonable morning tea and a bit of a yarn. It's an old-fashioned place.
Well, when I was trying to get hold of you, Hillary said, try calling at 10 to 10. John's normally making morning tea for everyone.
But we're at the end of the line here, you know. You're looking at the past here.
And so what's on the agenda today for you?
Thistles, picking a little Sweet William up the hill. And Michael and I, we might need to go and dig out some old lily bulbs because we've got about 100,000 chrysanthemum plants to plant in the next week or two. So we've got quite a bit on our plate.
John Baxter from Aromaonga, Baxter's Flowers in the Heathcote Valley.